The Second Coming by John Niven. Read by Nick Landrum.
Do you think that when Jesus comes back, he's ever going to want to see a fucking cross again? Kind of like going up to Jackie Onassis with a little sniper's rifle pendant.
Bill Hicks. Part 1. Heaven. What they do in heaven, we are ignorant of. What they do not do, we are told expressly. Jonathan Swift. Chapter 1. God's coming. Look busy. So says the tattered sticker on the metal filing cabinet by the water cooler. But today, it's no joke. God really is coming, and people really are trying to look busy. Raphael and Michael are standing next to the bubbling glass dome, both clutching sheets of paper, that time-honored office trick, designed to make the wanderer appear purposeful, and their conversation, in contrast to the leisurely banter the two angels have enjoyed around this very water cooler for the past week, is snatched, hurried, and delivered sotto voce out of the corners of their mouths, accompanied by nervy glances down the main hallway. "When's the old man getting back?" Raphael says. "Any time now. Late morning, according to Jeannie," Michael replies without looking at his friend. He's concentrating on the cooler, tugging the lever for the water, a big bubble flubbing up in the crystal tank.
"Shit. Think he's gonna be pissed?"
"Pissed?" Michael considers this, looking out over the main office, sipping his water. The main office in heaven is much like any other open-plan office. Cubicles, desks with metal filing baskets on them, telephones, waste paper baskets, photocopiers, and shelves full of files. But there are differences, too. There is, of course, no strip lighting in heaven. Rather, everything is suffused, bathed, washed, whatever you'd like to call it, with pure celestial light, the freshly minted light of a perfect May morning. The atmosphere is generally one of happy, focused, excited work, although today, for the obvious reasons, there is an undercurrent of nervy anticipation. For in the main office in heaven, it is, of course, forever Friday afternoon. Another slight difference: the honeycomb of desks and cubicles extends as far as the eye can see, flattening out towards the horizon and surrounded by cotton wisps of clouds. It may surprise some to learn that people work in heaven, but it was one of God's most inspired directives. And God is no stranger to inspired directives.
"People want to work," he told Peter. "Shit, people need to work. Look at the long-term unemployed. Look at the idle rich. They look happy to you."
Therefore, anyone in heaven who wants a job, and most do, is given one. Michael tips the paper cup back and closes his eyes in pleasure as the last drops sluice down his throat. The water in heaven. Well, you can imagine.
"Pissed," Michael repeats. "He's gonna go fucking nuts."
Even Jeannie, God's PA, who is normally unflappable, who, like the chess grandmaster, routinely thinks 15 or 20 moves ahead, even Jeannie is a little on edge this morning. She's in her early 40s, once insanely attractive, now just very.
"No, Seb," she is saying to one of her two assistants, "he'll want it chronological. Put those boxes at the front."
In God's outer office, Jeannie is putting together a review of the last 400 or so years on Earth. There's a lot of stuff. Boxes of files, papers, and DVDs are piled high on a chain of trolley carts many miles long. There are a couple of miles of carts filled with CDs alone, the entire recorded musical output of Earth for four centuries. Sebastian is bickering with Lance, Jeannie's other assistant.
No, asshole. Those should go with these if—
Ooh, get her, Lance says, flattening a hand on his chest. It's hard to tell which of them is Camper. Something Jeannie learned early on when it came to hiring staff for the Inner Sanctum, and something they seem to have gotten strangely wrong on Earth. God loves fags.
Because, dumbass, Jeannie's saying it's to be chronological.
Oh, be nice, Lance says, waving him away. I was trying to hide it. He holds up a file marked Catholic Church, Recent History.
You think he's going to want to read this?
Come on, you two. Jeannie finally snaps as her phone starts ringing. Just get on with it. And there's no point trying to hide anything. He'll read it all. Then into the phone.
Yep.
Jeannie listens.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. She puts the receiver back down. Seb and Lance look at her expectantly.
He's on his way up, Jeannie says.
God, coming through the main office, beaming, slapping backs, exchanging hellos, returning high fives, stopping to talk with people in cubicles. He's now into what people on Earth would perceive as his mid-50s, and he's... handsome wouldn't quite cover it. God is movie star handsome. He's a goddamn heartthrob, is what he is. His hair, once black as motor oil, is now flecked with silver. Silver in his week-old stubble, too. And those eyes, pale, pale blue, the blue of the shallow water in a tropical lagoon at midday on a summer afternoon. God picks up his rod and walks on down the hall. He is dressed in fishing gear, plaid shirt, canvas waistcoat, with various bits of paraphernalia stuffed in the pockets. On his head, he wears a battered fisherman's hat with brightly colored flies and lures stuck to it. In one hand, he carries his rod and tackle box. In the other hand, three fat, perfectly speckled trout dangle from a piece of line tied through the gills.
Hey, Marcus! God shouts to the black kid from the mailroom. How's it hanging, son?
Between my knees, big guy,
Marcus shouts across. God laughs. God loves spades. He throws the doors to his outer office open.
Honey, I'm home,
he says as he hugs Jeannie, with whom he enjoys a healthy flirtation.
Welcome back, sir, Jeannie says.
You miss me?
Of course we did.
Hey, fellas, God says to Seb and Lance. How's tricks?
Great,
Seb beams, nervous.
Hey,
Lance says, running a hand down God's battered canvas waistcoat.
Nice outfit. I normally don't care for John Deere, but this...
God laughs.
Get her.
And how was your vacation? Jeannie asks.
Oh, terrific. Just terrific. You were absolutely right. I will not be leaving it so long before I have another one.
Jeannie smiles, thinking about how quickly this view might be changing. It is painful for her to see him in such a good mood when she knows that the mood will soon be shattered.
Oh, here.
God swings the trout up and passes them to her.
For you. Just brush them with a little butter, salt, and pepper. Thank you, Seb,
God says, taking the steaming coffee mug that says, I'm the boss.
Stick them in the oven at about 350 for 15 minutes. Squeeze of lemon juice when they're done. Mmm!
God kisses his bunched fingertips.
I've been eating them straight out of the river for the past week. So, what did I miss?
Well, Jeannie says as she leads the way towards God's private office. She throws the doors open. The office is the size of a football field and is covered by several city skylines of boxes.
Shit, God says, blowing on his coffee. They've been busy down there, huh?
Mm-hmm,
Jeannie says, not making eye contact.
Now, a lot of the older stuff's in these files, but the more recent data's on disks, videotape, and on your hard drive.
Huh?
God says. God is a fast learner. The fastest. Under Jeannie's tuition, It takes him maybe 1.5 cups of coffee to get to grips with all the technology that has made its way up since he left for vacation. Phones, email, computers, CDs, DVDs, television, and the like. A brief detour on the fax machine, a now redundant piece of 20th century hardware. All this cool stuff that wasn't around when he left. Busy little creatures. He enjoys a playful diversion catching up on video games. Stunned that it seemed to take them a quarter of a century to get from Donkey Kong to Halo 3. He completes the latter in 7 minutes.
Genie, God says, standing up, stretching, surveying the miles of boxes, the files glowing on the screen of his new laptop. Is this going to make me unhappy?
I think that's a fair assessment, sir.
God moves forward, sits his coffee on a packing crate, and picks up a file at random. It is marked 18th century, slave trade.
Huh?
Slavery God was familiar with, unfortunately. Bastard pharaohs had been mental for it. But slave trade?
The fuck is the slave trade?
God asks, opening the file, frowning.
I think it's best if we give you some time to go through all this, Genie says.